Can we all stand up on our feet? I'm going to take an Old Testament portion from the Bible. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of 2 Kings. You may ask me, Pastor, how is missions to do with 2 Kings? And I'll come very quickly to that. I believe that the Bible is an inspired book where God speaks to you every time that He wants to do that. So, turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings
and chapter number 7. We are going to read together a few verses, and I believe that God is going to speak to you this morning if you are ready to listen from Him. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, but you can read from whichever version of the Bible you have. 2 Kings chapter 7 and from verse 3 to verse number 9. This is a story of four lepers. Yes. And I'm going to speak to you some lessons that we can learn from the story in the Old Testament. Because for every story in the Bible, there is a lesson that you can glean if you are ready to listen from God. Amen. And so this morning, as we are reading the story, I want to bring that story to life and to practical use in your day-to-day life so that you can learn some wonderful lessons that God wants to talk to you. So I'm going to start reading 2 Kings chapter 7 from verses 3 onwards to verse number 9. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these three lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried it from its silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then, and this is the key words I want you to think about, and this will be the my message that I want to speak to you. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we come before your word. Lord, I pray for your word that should have unhindered access into the hearts of everyone who is seated in this church tonight, this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that you speak to us from your word. Lord, give us the challenge of make us understand what we are doing and what we are not doing correctly. Yes. Speak to us, Lord. Use me as an instrument for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let me start with telling you the background of the story. Every story has a background. What has happened is that the king of Syria sent his army against the capital of Israel, which is a city by the name of Samaria. They surrounded the city, and the people within the city of Samaria could not go out to get any food. So there was a terrible famine that gripped the city. Samaria. And so the food became so scarce that a head of a donkey was selling for 2 pounds of silver. And also a pint or two of the dung of doves that was selling for 2 ounces of silver. You understand, when there is no food, the prices get jacked up. You know, even today the same thing. Supply and demand. There is no supply. The demand is great, so the prices went up and they could not get any food. So what happened? Because the people were starving and they were in a desperate condition, they started killing each other and eating the flesh of human beings. It was cannibalism that resorted in the city of Samaria. Now, while this was going on, outside the walls of the city of Samaria, there sat 4 lepers. It is very interesting to read the Bible, how it is recording even the conversations of these 4 lepers who were seated outside the walls of the city. They are talking to one another, and the Bible is recording here, and they are telling to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Now you know that why the lepers were sitting outside the walls. If you know the Old Testament laws, if a man becomes a leper, he cannot stay within the camp or within the city. He has to go outside and make his dwelling outside in a separate place until his leprosy is cured. Now, these 4 men, they all had one condition which is called leprosy.
Yeah.
Like we have in these days something called cancer and AIDS and Ebola recently. In those days, the greatest sickness that they had was leprosy.
Yes.
And how did they spot the leprosy on a man? If you turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and verses 2, where the Lord speaking to Moses and Aaron says, how can you discover somebody who has leprosy on his body? It says, if the skin of a person has a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it comes on the skin of the body like a leprous sore, then that person is termed as a leper. So the skin of these 4 people, they had all these sores and wounds upon their body. You know, the Hebrew word is called sarat, which means it was disfiguring skin diseases that these 4 people were having. These 4 men, their names are not there. The names are not relevant there, but there are 4 human people who had leprosy on our body. How does this relate to us? We know that the Bible always terms leprosy as a type of sin in our life.
Yeah.
And so, this is the sin, this condition, leprosy, is because of a disease in the blood. Because of the blood condition, that is a disease that comes about. And if you turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 1, where God is speaking about Israel as a sinful nation, you can make kind of like a cross connection about leprosy and sin. They are interrelated with one another. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 4, 5 and 6. It says, Isaiah is lamenting about a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who have become corruptors. They have forsaken the law. Read verse number 5. It says, the whole head is sick, the whole heart faints. And verse number 6, it says, now pay attention, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness on it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Leprosy and sin is comparable. So today, just like the 4 men had leprosy on their body, mankind today is under sin. We are born in sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Romans 3:23. So when everybody has sinned, we are like the lepers who have leprosy on their bodies. We are dead in trespasses and sins, says Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And this was our state before salvation. Let me tell you, if there is anyone sitting here who have not accepted Jesus in your life, remember, you have a spiritual leprosy in your life which is called sin. And God has a solution for that, because He sent His only Son Jesus to die on your place. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So these four people, they were lepers. Number two, they were outsiders. You know, they were outside the city wall at the entrance of the city. They were not allowed inside because of their leprosy. Look at our condition, the sinful condition that we were in. We were also outside the kingdom of God because we were sinners. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And not only we were sinners, we were also enemies of God. We were not friends with God. Romans 5:10 says that while we were yet His enemy, He died for us. Christ died for us. You know, we may say that we are part of God's family, but we are like the two prodigal sons. I believe you know the parable of the prodigal son. We all say the younger son was a prodigal, but I think that both the sons were prodigal. You know why? Both were outside their father's the wonders, because even though the younger one came back into the father's house, the older one who was there, he would not step inside the father's house. You know, you are prodigal when you don't enjoy the wonders of God that He is providing for you. So, let me tell you that they were sinners, they were outsiders, they were not part of the mainstream. Number three, we see here, they were dying. Verse number 3, when you come, verse number 3 and the last part, it says that, why are we sitting here until we die? These are four lepers who are awaiting their death. They are going to die. They know they are going to die. They are going to die because of the fact that they are starving. Do you know that the wages of sin is death? Amen. But the gift of God is eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:12 says, death has passed into all men. We are all destined to die and get separated from God eternally. That is the condition of humankind, and that is what we see in our lives. So not only they were lepers, they were outsiders, and they were dying also. So now look here. These are four lepers sitting among themselves, and they are talking to one another. Look here in verse number 4. When I read this passage, I was astounded about how intelligent these lepers were.
Yes.
They were very intelligent. I know many of us use reason for a lot of things. They were using a beautiful reason. What they did, they said, there are four possible outcomes for us. Four things can happen.
Yes.
Number one, if we enter into the city, we are going to die. Because there is no food, we are going to die.
Right.
Or people may kill us because we are entering the city. Number two, if you don't move from here, if you just sit here,
yeah,
we are still going to die.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any food to eat. Then they thought, the third condition is, if we go to the Syrians, they will kill us.
That's right.
We are going to die. So all three outcomes would lead to death. But then there is a possibility, a faint, a glimmer of hope. A fourth possible outcome is, if we go to the Syrians, and if they don't kill us,
we'll live.
They will live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Very intelligent lepers. I have never seen such kind of reasoning in the Bible before. Four people reasoning among themselves. What is the possible outcome? Let me tell you. That recently I was sharing the gospel with a Muslim friend in a restaurant this week. And I was telling him about believing in Jesus. And I told him, listen, this is a win-win situation for you. If you trust in Jesus, there are two outcomes. If Jesus is not right, you don't lose anything. But if He's right, you lose everything. You lose everything. So, it is a win-win situation to trust in Jesus for your salvation. Hallelujah. So, they use the four reasonings and they said, okay, we cannot sit here, we cannot go into the city, let us go to the Syrians. There are two possibilities. They may kill us or they may let us free. So they said, okay, let's move. And now look here, very surprising. Verse number 5. You know, when the Bible speaks about one word, there is a meaning here. You know what's the time they chose? Twilight. the twilight, the time between the day and the night, the evening time. And the reason is because if you go in the day, the Syrians may see us ahead of time, they may kill us. So they chose a time which is not too dark that they can find their way, but not too light that the enemy can see them. So they chose a particular time to go to the Syrian camp. Very bright fellows. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is a wonderful thing that they say. They arose at twilight, they go to the Syrian camp, and when they came to the camp, to their surprise, there was no people in the camp. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amazing. They did not have to do anything because God had done something amazing for them. Even a few, I believe maybe an hour or so before they reached there. Because it says down here that God caused the army of the Syrians to hear a big noise. They started hearing a noise of a big troop coming against them. They got scared and they ran away for their lives. All sometimes like this happens, you know, you forget everything. You run out. So they all ran, leaving back everything. They did not even have time to pack and run out. They left everything they had. Do you know what all they left behind here? In verse number 7 and 8. I counted many things. Can you count how many things they left here? They left their tents. They left their horses. They left their donkeys. When you come to verse number 8, they left their food. They left their drinks. And then they left their silver, their gold, and their clothing. Everything they left. You know why? Because God did something amazing. This is the act of God. When we do something, we can do only a small thing. But when God decides to act, this is how He does it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God acts in your life, believe me, your eyes will be amazed. You cannot even understand how God does this. The word of God says, eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it come to the mind of any man. What God will do to them, whom He cares. God has amazing things in store.
Yes.
Because of this decision that the lepers took,
yeah,
they got everything. A few moments before, they had nothing in their lives, but now they have
everything.
Many of us who have come to God's kingdom, now we are like the lepers who have found everything for you.
Everything.
Let me tell you that. We use the reason that God gave in Isaiah 1:8. God said, come, let us reason together. Those your sin are scarlet, they will be white as snow. They accepted, so we accepted Christ, we became the children of God, and now we have got everything that we need. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, God has provided for us everything. He has given us spiritual blessings. He has given us a hope. He has given us a future. He has given us a family. He has given us a purpose for living. He has given us everything that we desire.
Everything.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we become God's children, God gives everything with His Son. You know, we have got a lot of riches. We see that the lepers, they found a lot of riches in the camp. You know what kind of riches that God has given us because we became His children? We have the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 verse 7. We have the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Romans 11:33.
Yeah.
We have the riches of His glory.
Yeah.
Romans 9:23.
Yeah.
We have the riches of His glorious inheritance.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:18.
Praise the Lord.
Just like the lepers, we are also now situated in a place with all riches.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now comes the reason why I am bringing out this message to you on this Mission Sunday. Let us come here. What happened in their excitement? The lepers said, we are going to take as much as possible. They ran to one camp. They got something. They hid it here. They run into other. Can you imagine these four people running from camp to camp, gathering all the gold? But after some time, after getting, they got tired and said, man, this is all. How much we can hide? What can we do more? And then they started talking to one another. Let's come to verse number 9. This is my message for you today. We are like the four lepers who have found the riches of the gospel and the grace of God. And now what are they saying? Look here. What are the four people talking to one another? We started with a conversation. Now we are ending up with a conversation. What are they telling to each other? We are not doing right. We are not doing right. If we are keeping our secret to ourselves, we are not doing right.
Amen.
This day is a day of good news. And we remain silent. You know, it is not a good thing to remain silent on this day. Hallelujah. Do you know that? As it says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. We cannot just keep silent. And then they say one more thing in chapter 9. If we wait until morning, like some punishment will come upon us. Do you know this exactly speaks to us? From Romans chapter 13 verses 11 and 12 it says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. The day is coming very soon and we will have to give an account of ourselves before the King of Glory one day.
Yeah.
If we keep silent, it is not a good thing. It is not a good thing. The gospel message was never intended to be kept among ourselves. All the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, they traveled all around the world to preach the gospel. Why? Because they knew that they cannot keep the good news to themselves. They started at Jerusalem, they went to Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the world because they wanted to share the good news with everyone. But if we are keeping silent, it is not good. It is not good. This is something that we need to understand, brothers. We cannot keep silent. You know, the Lord has said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus has spoken. And another place it says, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. This is what the Lord wants us to do. We now know, just like the lepers knew that there is food in the Syrian camp, there the same way, we know the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If we keep silent, it is not going to be good for our lives.
No.
Hallelujah. So what did the lepers do? In verse number 9 to 11, they went and told to the king. Everybody came in. And in verse number 16, it says the people, verse number 6, the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. Everybody got filled. Everybody's hunger was met because the four lepers decided to speak the good news. Let me come to the application of whatever I preach today. As we relate this story to our lives, we have like the four lepers who have discovered the true riches of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This is good news that should not be kept to ourselves. You know, D.G. Niles has said a statement like this. Evangelism is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. This is what is evangelism. You are telling somebody, we know from where I found the bread, and I'm telling you, you can also find the bread there. You know, there's a story I've heard. It's a true story. There was a man by the name of Charles Pease. He was condemned to death row in the United States. So, as the day came, Charles was going to be taken to the gallows to be killed. And as the practice was, there was a clergyman who was reading out the prayer of the prayer book liturgy. He was reading from that prayer book liturgy. And during that reading, he spoke about the existence of hell for anybody who does not know Christ. Suddenly, Charles tapped the clergyman on his shoulder and said, "Sir, can I ask you a question? Do you really believe what you are reading?" The clergyman said, "Yes, I believe." Then Charles said a statement that has really touched many hearts. He said, "If you believe what you believe. If I believe what you believe, I will crawl on my hands and knees to the four corners of the world across broken glass to warn people of such an eternity as hell. I will crawl on my hands and my knees on broken glass across the world to tell people that if you do not know Christ, you are going to die and go to hell. Hallelujah. If we believe that the people who do not know Jesus are going to hell, what are we doing about it? Are we keeping the good news to ourselves? Are we being silent today when Jesus said, go and preach the gospel?
Yes,
hallelujah. Maybe you cannot cross the seas and go across continents. What about your neighbor? What about the person who is working with you at your workplace? What about your friend who is studying with you in the college, sitting at the next desk there? Are we presenting the gospel? Today I want to bring before you this important truth, that God has put this treasure of the gospel in our hearts.
Yes.
The light of the gospel in our earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 and 7 says, He has given us this treasure in our earthen vessels. Are we keeping silent? Or are we telling people that there is a way out of this darkness? There is a Jesus who has died for your sins and who can give you eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know this is not a feeling good message today, but this is a Mission Sunday. And this is something that the Lord impressed upon me to tell each one of you. Each of us are missionaries. Do you know that? We all have a mission. We all have a mission field. We all have a commission that God has given us. We have a message to speak about. We have a good news that we cannot keep to ourselves.
Amen.
You come to the church on Sunday, get recharged, go out to the world and be missionaries for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in the New Testament, I don't know how many of you have heard about the man called Andrew, the brother of Peter. He is one of the silent disciples of Jesus. But you know, when I understand about Andrew, he was always telling somebody about Jesus. First, he told his brother Peter. John chapter 1 verse 41. Andrew told Peter, hey, come to the Messiah. He brought him to Jesus. Then it was, he went to a young boy who had a lunch with him and brought that lunch to Jesus so that many people were God-filled.
Yes.
John chapter 6 verse 8 and 9. Then he also, with Philip, brought Greeks to Jesus. We read that in John chapter 12 verse 22. He knew who Jesus was. He wanted to share others to Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is not our exclusive property. We cannot just hide this wonderful thing and sing and praise God and Lord, you have done good. That is good. But what are we doing for God? Hallelujah. It's wonderful to have a worship service. Wonderful to be blessed in the Lord. But what are we going to do through the blessing that God has given us? Are we channels of blessing? God does not want us to be like a lake. God wants us to be like a flowing river.
Yes.
That goes and gives out to the people around us.
Amen.
You know, we have a debt to share. Today in our Bible portion we read from the Gospel of Romans. The Epistle of Romans chapter 1. Verse number 14, Paul says, I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the Jews, to the wise and to the unwise. I have a debt. What is a debt? The debt is to bring the gospel to each and everyone. You know, sharing the gospel is both our commission and our responsibility. We have to be witnesses of the saving knowledge of the gospel. There is a whole world waiting to hear from you. God did not commission the angels to preach the good news. God gave that responsibility to each one of us. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and bow your heads as the musicians come forward and they're going to play a music. But I want you to close your eyes for a minute and think about your life. I don't know how many years you have come to the faith and how long you have known about Jesus Christ and the gospel. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, what I'm doing with the gospel that God has given to me. Am I sharing this gospel with the people that I know? This is a challenge for you, my dear brothers and sisters. This is a very serious moment. I want you to think about it. Because this is a message that God wants to tell you. Is that you need to share the good news with other people. Share the good news with other people. With people who do not know Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of the love. Because it's the power of God. Today I want to challenge each and every one of you sitting here. I don't know how many years of experience we have. But the question comes when Jesus will come before Jesus. Jesus will say, I died for you. I have done all these things for you. What have you done for me? Did you even share my message to one person? Did you even share this message to the people around you who are going to hell? Who are going to eternal darkness without God? Or were you just keeping it to yourself? At that time, what are we going to do and how are we going to answer to God? I want to give a time for people this afternoon. If you are saying, Lord, I need to do more, listen to me very carefully. If you are really doing a lot of evangelism work, that is fine. I'm not going to, you are just doing a good work and may God bless you. But if you have to do more than what you are normally doing, can you stand up on your feet and say, Lord, I want to do more than what I am doing today? Can you stand up on your feet? God has given you a gospel, a treasure in your heart. And just stand up and say, Lord, I want to do more for you. Like the four lepers, you said, it is not good to keep silent. We need to go and tell the king and tell the others that they can also share in the wondrous thing that God has given. Hallelujah. Can you make a decision today, Lord? Wherever I go, with your help, I'm going to share the good news that you've given me. I'm going to tell others about this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you're looking for prayer and encouragement, would you step out of your seat and come to the front? Hallelujah. The servants of God will pray for you. Would you just step out and say, Lord, I need prayer. I need some encouragement. I need some power. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We heard about the 40 days of fasting that is going to happen. Lord, I want to tarry and wait for the power that I can be a witness of the gospel. Lord, I need to do more. Hallelujah. Is there anyone who is looking for a specific prayer request? You can come forward. Or you can remain standing. It doesn't matter. End of the day, let us not feel guilty that we are not doing what we are supposed to do.